The Flames Talk postgame show starts now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Let's get our Flames Talk postgame show underway on this Saturday afternoon following a Flames 3-0 loss on the road in Florida. Calgary's goalless drought is now up to 124 minutes and 28 seconds consecutively. Shutout this afternoon, 3-0. Shutout on Thursday in Tampa Bay, 3-0. And we'll very much need some offense on Sunday in Carolina. Flames Talk postgame on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. My name is Pat Steinberg. The phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Text line open at 960-960. Color voice of the Flames, Megan Mickelson, with us as well. And Mick, our marquee matchup in the pregame show today, brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. We were talking about how the Flames can generate more offense. We talked about more traffic. We talked about a better power play, and that lack of offense reared its ugly head once again. Little better in the third this afternoon, but just completely punchless in the first 40 minutes of this hockey game. What'd you see in Calgary's inability to generate and also being on their heels for a good chunk of this game too?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to generate offense when you're in your own zone the whole time.
The entire two periods, yeah.
I would say, I mean, that's your first problem, is not being able to get out of your own zone. And we heard Joe Hanley talk about it after the game, and that, you know, the Panthers, they pressure really, really hard. And what I can't quite wrap my head around or understand is how flat the Flames came out. It was almost like they weren't expecting this to be as hard of a game as it was, which I also don't understand. So, I mean, yeah, just not enough energy, not enough juice, not enough jump to compete and to even get pucks out of their own zone. So I think that, you know, that was problem number one. The other thing is Dan Lambert told me, you know, one of the most important things in this game for the Flames was going to be making sure that they were able to get pucks through the neutral zone with the mentality of really good puck management and then getting pucks in behind their D. They didn't do that in the first two periods either. Sort of saw them start to get to that style of game. But then in the third, I think what we saw when they did get some looks, just, I mean, there was traffic, but I mean, there wasn't enough. And you can stand in front of a goaltender and put your body there. But, you know, you also have to make sure that you're taking their eyes away. So I think that the screens have maybe been a little bit too stationary. Flash screens often work better. Or, you know, if you are screening in front of the net, peeking over your shoulder to see which way the goalie is leaning, where they're looking, to make sure that you are actually taking away their eyes when you're in front of the net. So, again, and it was something they talked about coming into this game, was making things more difficult for Sergei Bobrovsky, because, you know, we saw it against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Andrei Vasilevsky was just able to see everything.
Yep.
They needed to make it harder on Sergei Bobrovsky tonight, and I just don't think they did.
Marquee matchup brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. It's time to Toyota at the giant Country Hills Toyota. The Toyota truck clear out is on. Get financing as low as 0% OAC with zero down and no payments until July 2025. Mick, there are some nights where choosing the hardest working Flame is hard for good reasons. There's some nights when it's hard for bad reasons. I think I know you pretty well. I think I know who you're choosing for the hardest working Flame. And is this one of the easiest ones you've selected all year?
Yeah, this one to me, I think, is the easiest. Like, I didn't even need to look at the stat sheet. I did take a peek. I will say, I thought Martin Pospisil had a fairly strong game once again. He was physical. So a pretty strong game from him from a player's standpoint. Not many there. And I'm just going to leave that there and put it nicely. But for me, I mean, Dan Vladar, like, he played out of his mind. And, you know, I'm happy for him in the sense that he leaves the impression that he was just sensational. He was incredible and shows once again that he's a great goaltender. Would like to see the team play better in front of him, obviously. Yeah. And, you know, that continues to be a trend that also don't really understand. I mean, he's a... He's a good teammate from what I've heard, from what I've seen, and what I hear. So, you know, would like to see the group have a better effort in front of him. But just the way that he, like, he battled, absolutely battled for every single save, every single puck. So he gets it tonight.
Yeah, easy one tonight. Dan Vladar, the hardest working Flame, after a very spectacular 39-save effort in a losing cause on this Saturday afternoon. Mick, before we let you go, not a whole lot of time to ruminate on this one. Hey, another tough test on Sunday afternoon against Carolina. What's key? You've been in situations like this where you've played bad games. You've been in situations like this where it just didn't, it just, for whatever reason, you didn't have it that night as a team. How do you get back on the horse and change that a day later?
Well, I think coming off a game like this, it would be really hard to come out flat again. So I can pretty much guarantee, you know, from a player's standpoint, you're coming out guns a-blazing in the next game. But it is nice to be able to turn around that quickly and to play again. So, I mean, you can't get down on it, especially for the Flames. I think this is a very unique situation in that the pressure is very high for this team right now. The trade deadline is coming up very soon, and know for a fact that Craig Conroy and management are waiting to see how the next couple of games are going to pan out as to determining which direction they're going to end up going. But I mean, for a player right now, I would be pretty ticked off and be wanting to be chomping at the bit for tomorrow. And you know, we've seen this team when they play the way that they know they need to play, getting out of their zone, defending hard, getting pucks through the neutral zone. A lot of what we saw in the third period, they can play some really good hockey. So I think that they have the confidence that it's there. They just need to come out and execute tomorrow.
Thank you, Mick. Be well, and we'll chat on Sunday afternoon. Thank you, friend.
Thanks, Pat.
That is Megan Mickelson wrapping up on this Saturday afternoon. Flames fall 3-0 to the Florida Panthers at Amerant Bank Arena. So that's a pretty nightmare trip to Florida. They play a really good game on Tuesday. Sorry, they play a really good game on Thursday night. Can't score, lose 3-0, and then they don't play a very good game this afternoon in Florida, and also lose 3-0. So the shutout streak, or the goalless drought, if you want, from the Flames side of things, is almost at 125 straight minutes. Going back to the Washington game, they scored the last goal there with 4:28 to go. So it's now 124 minutes and 28 seconds without a goal for the Flames. They'll try to make that snap that streak as early as they can Sunday afternoon in Carolina. That's coming up next for the Flames. They'll take on the Hurricanes now halfway through this six-game road trip. It goes through Carolina on Sunday, then into Philadelphia on Tuesday, wraps up Thursday night against the Dallas Stars. Flames Talk postgame is underway on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's Pat Steinberg along with you. And you know what? Let's do this right now, because this guy really was the story of this game. And you sure do feel bad for Dan Vladar the way things went, because Vladar was so strong for the Flames today. And especially in those first 40 minutes of play, ensured that the Flames still were in this one. It's time for the save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. And the save of the game comes from Dan Vladar in period number two.
Here is Reinhardt with a shot, put it away by Vladar, rebound, Vladar dives across his crease and keeps the puck out. And now there's a mad scramble, and the Flames goalie finally gets a whistle. Another spectacular save by Dan Vladar.
Boy, I thought that, you know, it would have been nice to see them get some run support for Dustin Wolf on Thursday, but boy, did you want them to score one for Vladar with the way he played this afternoon. That's one of the 39 stops, many of them spectacular from Dan Vladar. And that's his save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes donates $5 to Kidsport Calgary. Visit shaneholmes.com, the better way to build. Wild. We'll hear from Dan Vladar. We'll hear from head coach Ryan Huska in just minutes' time as the Flames fall 3-0 on the road in Florida. Call now. Phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Text now, 960-960, as our Flames Talk postgame show is underway. 3-0 final. Flames fall in Florida. And your Flames Talk postgame continues next on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Well, by and large, that was an ugly one for the Flames on this Saturday afternoon. 3-0 final score. Second straight game where the Flames unable to generate a goal. Shutout streak, or the being shutout streak, up over 120 minutes to 124-28. And the overall game just wasn't good enough. I mean, they played well enough in the third period, and they definitely had their best period in the third, but it just, that first 40 minutes of play, they were beyond fortunate to be within striking distance. It was scoreless after a pretty dominant Florida first period, but the Flames did a nice job of limiting damage. It was 1-0 until the final, like, 35 seconds of the second period when Florida finally got a second goal. And they were extremely fortunate and owed everything to Dan Vladar and the way he had played to still be within striking distance going to the third period. And, you know, then they played better in the third, but Florida's also the defending Stanley Cup champions. Even without Matthew Tkachuk, they know how to lock down a lead, and they did. Sergei Bobrovsky is a Stanley Cup winning goaltender. He knows how to shut the door when he needs to. And they did. He did, and the Flames couldn't get one. And then late in the game, Samuskevich scores the kind of nice one to completely seal it. There just wasn't enough there for the Flames. I don't have a reason for it. I don't have an explanation for it. I don't think they should be really all that gassed. I mean, they're coming out of a long break. There wasn't a lot of travel between Thursday and this game. I know it was an afternoon game. Maybe, I don't know, and I'm not even trying to make excuses because there are none, but maybe that played into it. I don't know. But they just, for whatever reason, they didn't have it. They weren't good enough, and they deserve to take this one on the chin. You can't play that poorly for 40 minutes and expect to come away with a victory. And unfortunately, they did, and the third period was better, but far too little, far too late when it's all said and done. I don't even know if I need to expand on that a whole lot more. The only thing that I would say is, I feel really bad for Dan Vladar. Just a really, really rough night for him, knowing how well he played and not getting a single lick of run support. Let's go to the Flames dressing room now, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. Let's start with head coach Ryan Huska as he just wrapped up in Sunrise, Florida.
That we didn't play very well today. We had, I thought Vladdy was unreal. Other, if he wasn't on the way he was today, that game gets away even more so than what it did today. I just felt like we were a slow team and didn't look like we were prepared to play. So that's on obviously how I handled them this afternoon.
You know, where do you find some of that pace? Where does that have to begin in terms of
pace? A lot of times just puck movement. You know, if you're anticipating where that thing is going, you get there one step quicker. And for the majority part of the game, I thought they were the team that was winning races to loose pucks. They were more competitive on it than we were tonight.
What's missing in terms of, you know, trying to get more offensive chances?
Tonight, I feel like it was the compete and the pace side of it. Last night, our game in Tampa, I don't feel it was that at all. I thought the compete was there. That was the issue for us tonight. For the first two periods, we just didn't have any.
So more self-inflicted, you feel, than what they did on the other side? Or do you get some credit over there, too?
No. My gosh, they're a good team. But I just don't like the way we came to play this game. I felt like we, as I said, we didn't have any sort of speed or tempo to our game. And other than our goaltender, there's not too many other guys that I would honestly think would tell you that they were at their best today.
What stood out the most about Vladdy's game here today, though?
Competitive. Like, he never quit on any puck. I mean, you saw some of the saves he made today. Some of those were ridiculous saves. So he had the competitive side to him today.
Any momentum at all from the third period that maybe you can carry from tomorrow?
No.
Okay.
Thanks, Coach. Thanks, guys.
Not a whole lot of positive from head coach Ryan Huska, understandably so, the way this game went. And I think that you would agree with pretty much everything he had to say in his post-game thoughts. And now Dan Vladar made 39 stops, and he was Calgary's best player by a country mile. Here's Dan Vladar from Florida post-game as well.
I mean, it's obviously better when you see more pucks than not. So, I feel pretty good. And, the thing that I think we got to take from this game is the therapy. When we had a really good pushback, and I'm really proud of this group. And, I think, some guys said it in the locker room after the game that if we play like we did in the third, like, we are putting ourselves in a really good spot for tomorrow. So that was our hockey, the third period, for sure. And, for me, I'd rather win 8-7. That's just my mentality. I came here for 2 points. I didn't come here to, to hear from everybody, good job or whatever. Like, so obviously not good enough from my point, from our point, and I'm pretty sure that we'll be better tomorrow.
On the goal that you guys challenged, did you feel the stick tap hit you or not really?
Well, to be honest, it usually happens so fast, yeah, that unless it's like super obvious when guy elbows you in the head, it's hard. But it's hard for me to tell. Obviously, you feel contact, but the game is fast, so you don't know if it's your guy or their guy. So if it's not super obvious, you as a goalie, you usually don't know. So, but for me, I trust Chipsy and Guac. In my eyes, those guys are the best in the league. So I trusted him. So if I know they're challenging, it usually goes our way. Unfortunately, it didn't this way, but I'm pretty sure that they had a very good reason for it, and it just sucks that it didn't go our way.
Is this one of those games where you were like really in a zone? I mean, it seemed like it was ridiculous save after ridiculous save.
I mean, those afternoon games are kind of tough because you don't know which way is it gonna go. Because you just wake up and come to the ring. So, nothing's changing for me. I'm just trying to give our team the best chance to win, and it just wasn't enough tonight. But as I said, if you're gonna play like we did in the third, I think we are in a really good spot for tomorrow in against a really good team again.
Is that immediately where it had to shift in terms of that third period and trying to find a little momentum to take tomorrow?
Yeah, and I was super confident. I think everybody in this locker room was super confident. We can put one in the first 10 and then put a second one in the third. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. We know they are a really good team. They don't give up much, and they have a really good goaltender playing for them as well. So it's a really tough building to play in. But as I said, if you're going to play like third, we have a really good chance tomorrow.
There you go. That is Dan Vladar post-game following a 3-0 loss on the road in Florida this afternoon. From the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. Let's get to the text line for the first time this afternoon at 960-960. By the way, phone lines are open. Got a couple of lines open at 403-240-4444. This text says, well, I think it's clear they need to sell at the deadline. This team couldn't score a goal if the net was empty. Still, 5-6 days until the trade deadline. I don't really expect this team to be in a sell mode at any point, but we'll see what happens between now and next Friday. This from Mike. The big question will be, are the Flames able to score at least one goal tomorrow? I mean, yeah, that's quite the extended run without scoring, 124-28, so two straight games without a goal. This reads, same problems continue, no goal scoring. I don't see how they can make the playoffs without goals. Why not trade some of the vets and get younger while still continuing to push? And I guess, as I would say, who knows? We'll see what happens between now and the trade deadline. This from Wedley. Feel bad for Dan. What a performance. Congrats, Pat, on your award. Glad to be an OG listener of such a hardworking and sports passionate individual. Thank you, Wedley. I appreciate that, man. That's very nice of you. This from Vince. Very disappointing from the top guys. the likes of Sharon Govich, who disappears when it's a grind game. Where was Huberto, Kadri? Very disappointing and a waste of another good game from Vladar. I think too much beach and sun yesterday, not enough urgency today. This trip's going to push them out of the playoff chase. Vancouver's too good to let games slip away moving forward. Now, Vancouver will play later on this Saturday night, so we'll see if the Flames are a point or 2 or 3 points back going into the game against Carolina. We shall see. Vancouver has not been great guns coming out of the trade deadline either. I do agree. Like, I don't know if Mick pointed to Pospisil. I'd point to Zeri. Those are the only two guys that I would put in the bright spot or even close to it category when it comes to skaters on Saturday afternoon. So, yeah, not a whole lot to like. This from Scotty in Victoria. Wow, the scoring woes are getting worse. I don't think Frost and Farabee were the fix they needed. Not that I'm blaming them. They need to figure out some lineups that work for scoring. Vladar had a great game, and I'm loving his efforts lately. 39 saves is impressive. This is going to be a rough road trip if they can't figure out the scoring issues, Pat. Eek. And yeah, there's no doubt. And look, they go from a team like Florida who grinds you and has the puck all game. They are the number two team in that regard in the NHL. The number one team is Carolina. Carolina has the puck all the time. And so it's going to be another one of those difficult games, I think, for the Flames. We'll see if they're able to rise through it. This is a Panthers team that does not give up a ton. And they, you know, they don't have the same type of offensive finishing maybe as Florida does, especially when Tkachuk is healthy, but with Rantanen in there, it's a little bit better. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. Colin says, not ready. Where have we heard that before? A very sad effort. Colin and Marta Loop writes that in. Kyle writes, unfortunately, Pat, not a great showing, but there are positives. Vladar put on a masterclass. If he doesn't get re-signed here, he's sure marketing himself to go to a team where he'll be the number one. He's earned it. The Flames really struggle with this type of aggressive neutral zone defense. Tampa plays the same way, and Calgary struggles to maintain the puck. Two games in a row that the team's got a shutout at the hands of Calgary. If they can unlock that, they will be a force to be reckoned with. On to the next. Let's see how it goes. You think Vladar gets another go or back to Wolf? I mean, and I'm not trying to take anything away from Vladar. I don't know if there's going to be a place that brings him on to be a number one if he hits free agency. But he definitely has had a nice little run here the last 2-3 games that he's played. And I do think, I mean, Vladar looked and sounded exhausted after this game. That's the decision to go to Dustin Wolf Sunday in Carolina is maybe the biggest no-brainer of the season. And that is nothing, taking nothing away from Vladar's effort on Saturday in Florida. This from Dylan in Revelstoke. Vladar was amazing. Goes without saying, he was the only player that didn't look like he was injected with lactic acid pregame. Do his last two games make up for his abysmal 2.5 years? If Nyquist gets a second, Flames really need to move Nazem for the ransom he should be worth in relation to Gustav. I doubt they do move him until the offseason, even though he's been way better lately. Actually using teammates there, I gave Nazem some credit. That comes from Dylan in Revy. The only difference with that would be, and I know that Gustav Nyquist got traded earlier today to Minnesota from Nashville, and Nashville got a second round pick for him. The only difference would be that Nyquist doesn't have the contract that Kadri has. Kadri still has 4 years at $7 million, whereas Nyquist is a pending unrestricted free agent. And, you know, the Wild are getting him for a little more than $1.5 million when it's all said and done. That would be the only thing I'd say, Dylan, in terms of comparing one to the other. But yes, Minnesota definitely paid a fairly significant price to bring Nyquist in. And I like Gustav Nyquist. I mean, he's been a good player in this league. And when it's all said and done, he's going to play like 15 years in the NHL and do so just being a really quiet contributor. He could end up hitting 1,000 NHL games. This year he's got 21 points. He had 20 goals last year and 75 points. Like, still a pretty good player, even though he's 35 years old. This reads from Mike. Once again, no run support for the goalies. Can't win when you don't score. Sorry to be Captain Obvious. That's Mike in Calgary. This says first star of Vladar, second star of Vladar, third star of Vladar. That definitely wasn't the Flames team I've been watching all year. Conspiracy theory number one, they were cloned by the Chicago Blackhawks while they were sleeping. Number two, somehow someone put lead weights in their skates. And thirdly, they thought the NHL changed some rules and have decided to award teams with bonus points for being shut out. All creative theories. I just don't know if any one of them is the reason why. Ash writes, it astonishes me that before today's game, the Flames were 12-3-1 against Florida. I've also noticed the Flames seem to always play them so well at home and sometimes look listless against them on the road. What are your thoughts on the Flames potentially trading Farabee as part of any trade for a left D? To me, it hasn't been a fit in Calgary so far. I mean, I'm not suggesting that that would be out of the question. All I would say is that With how bad things went this year for Farabee in Philadelphia, I think it's going to take some time for him to get acclimated and comfortable and feel better about the way things are going with his overall game. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think that it is it's been a great start to his time in Calgary. Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's been outstanding in his now first 10 games as a member of the Flames, and they definitely would like to have more from him. I'm just giving it a little bit of time because I do know there is a little bit of a Tortorella hangover going on there with Joel Farabee. This is from Peter. Pat, this road trip is showing the Flames are going to face number one goalies and they don't have the guns. Conroy has to move heaven and earth to get a big, young number one center. It's the only path forward. Walter and Airdrie. Flames can't seem to score much during the regular season. Therefore, it stands to reasons they'll be bounced in the first round against the top team and tighter checking we know comes in the playoffs. Therefore, no need for Conroy to make any short-term trades at the deadline. Not this year, and that's okay. And Walter, I don't think he's going to. I really don't. The short-term trade, I just don't think is in the offing. And if there is a short-term trade, it's going to be a really low-impact one, low-price one. There's not going to be any short-term trades that cost this team a lot. I can guarantee you that. Or almost. I mean, you never want to. I'd be like 98% sure. Just every conversation I've had with Craig, every conversation I've had with others, that's just not what the Flames are interested in. Tony writes, the Flames organization needs to realize this isn't a playoff team, not even close. The last third of the season is when the true playoff teams bring their game to the next level. Calgary doesn't have the personnel to do that. You need to draft high to have a chance to select elite talent. The problem, it's not in their DNA. They're forever a middle-of-the-road team. This says Flames have been bad at afternoon games for as long as I can remember. This reads, isn't it pretty evident this team isn't a playoff contender? I know there's merit to getting in, but let's be real. What's more valuable to this organization, a playoff appearance or abundant draft capital for the next two drafts? In my opinion, it's time for Conroy to start shipping out some veterans. This says from Raj, Pat, should we be disappointed with the lack of offense from Frost and Farabee? You can be disappointed, but what I'll continue to say is that I'm not going to put a definitive, I'm going to wait until like next season. You know, Farabee and to a lesser extent, Frost have been told there's just a lot of hangover scars, trauma, whatever word you want to use from the way this season went under John Tortorella, and it's left a mark. And so I think it's going to be, it's going to take some time to shake. So let's talk in like November and see where things are at. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that things have been great so far and we can be disappointed, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to put my personal definitive opinion on the trade for quite some time. And finally, before the phone lines, Jared writes, Vladdy's played really good in the last few of his starts. Do you think he's played himself into some looks for teams hoping for a long run? Potentially, yes. Yeah, I don't know that for sure, Jared, but potentially he has been able to do that, and we'll see if anybody comes calling in the next 5 or 6 days. Good stuff on the text line so far. Keep them coming at 960-960, and now the phone lines, as the phone lines are open, got, what, 2-3 phone lines open. If you want to chat on this Saturday afternoon, call now 403-240-4444. We'd love to hear from you on our Flames Talk postgame show on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts, live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. It's Pat Steinberg along with you following a 3-0 loss on the road in Florida. Let's say hello to Gio on this Saturday afternoon. Gio, you're first up on the phone lines. What's going on?
Hey, Pat.
What's happening?
Hey, Pat, how's it going?
I'm good, man.
Yeah, I really feel for the goalies on this team. Amazing effort by Vladar and But his teammates should be embarrassed for their effort in front of him today. That was not good.
No, it wasn't.
But that's kind of stayed in the obvious. But I'd like to talk a little systems and structure. And I'm not letting the players off by any means on this, but at what point do we start looking at the coaches for their system? And the team is not this bad. Like, sure, they might not have that elite talent, but when it's the whole team most of the year producing like this, this low event hockey that we keep being told that they have to play.
Mm-hmm.
But again, there's ways to open it up and still be responsible defensively. And because when it's everybody, at what point do we start looking at the systems and structure of this team? What do you think?
I do think that the system and the structure of the team plays a fairly large part in why offense is hard to come by. And then I guess it comes down to whether you believe or not that that's the way this team needs to play. I look at it and I think that they've put together a decent structure. And I know that not everybody agrees, and that's fine. Maybe you don't, Gio. But they put together a structure and a brand of hockey that I think gives a team that is not blessed with a lot of high-end talent an opportunity on a lot of nights to be competitive. Now, today, that wasn't the case, but that is a rarity. More often than not, and in fact, far more often than not, they've been a pretty competitive group in the games they're in. They've now played, 59 games? And I would say in, 52, 53. You'd have to... You have to squint to see games that they haven't been competitive in because there haven't been a lot of them. There's definitely been nights when the other team's better or where the other team's got more talent, matched their work ethic, and won the game. That happens. But I look at it and I say I understand why they play the way they play because I think that it is the best way for this group to have success. I think it is the type of hockey that gives them the best chance to win games. And yes, I also agree that it does stifle things offensively, but they've won more than they've lost playing it this year. So, that's why I continue saying I do think it is the type of hockey that is most conducive to having winning results.
So kind of 2 points to that. The league average is a 901 save percentage, and Wolf is 913. And I think a lot of that is because of how good the goaltending's been playing this year. It's covering a lot of deeper issues with the team. And if he wasn't playing as well, if he was just playing average, the team would look a lot worse. And also, if you look at the top nine, I just think they're way too small and soft to play the style he wants. He wants to play this dump and chase, and they just don't have the guys in the top nine to do that. Enough guys like Coleman, maybe. They're just way too soft and small to play that style. I think actually they have more skilled guys to play a little more. They need a little more east-west. And when the year started, that was what we were told. They want to play fast, a little more creative, hang on to pucks, that kind of, they can do that and still be good defensively. And that's more conducive to the players they have in the top nine. Like they added Frost now, you can see some of that in him. You got Zary, Huberdeau, these kinds of guys. You got to open that up that way. And one other point I wanted to make, if you go over the last 10 years, the teams that have won the cup in the top six, they've had guys that not only have size and edge, but skill too with that. Like Washington won. You look at guys like Tom Wilson in the top six. You got to have those guys, and the Flames don't have that combine the size and the skill and play with the edge and grit in the top six. And we know what Conroy's plan is. Like, we know younger, better, faster. They want to be good in 3 years. I'm actually in agreement with all that. But I think we need to start seeing bringing in some of these guys that can play a certain way. We need some heavier, bigger guys in that top six and faster. Like, they're just too small, soft, and slow. And that's not a good combo when you have all three.
Yeah, and I mean, I do think, first of all, I don't agree that this is a dump and chase team. That's not really how they go about their business. But I do think it is a brand of hockey that does make it, because it's so defensively focused and so about, you know, keeping being on top of the puck and all that type of stuff. I do think at times it stifles the offensive creativity, or not even stifles. It just it is a little bit harder to generate offense playing that brand, and I'll readily admit that. And I guess it goes down to the fact, or it comes down to the opinion as to whether or not you believe that is the best way for this team to play to have success or not. And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm right beyond a shadow of a doubt. I think it probably is, because I don't see the type of talent that I think is going to meaningfully get you a lot of high scoring wins. So I think this probably is, with this roster, the best way to go about it. That being said, there's no doubt that going forward here, Gio, they need to find some more high end offensive players. And it starts with a center iceman, and it kind of goes from there. But there's zero doubt that is a priority for this team, and will need to continue to be a priority for this team for quite some time, because you don't just solve that overnight most times.
Yeah. We keep hearing too, like, they need to draft elite in the top five, but what's going to be the key is they got to hit on some of these draft picks, because there's some guys go later in the first, guys go later in the second, all kinds of guys. You look at Boston. Like Boston, I mean, they got Chara. He was, I think, maybe second or third overall. But other than that, Pasternak, he was 28th overall. Bergeron was second round pick. Mm-hmm. You can find these guys. You don't necessarily have to be drafting high, and everybody's kind of getting hung up on that.
Obviously you have a higher, significantly, not just higher, but a significantly higher probability of drafting that type of player if you draft high. And I don't think you can really dispute that. That being said, yes, you can. You absolutely can still find good players, and you can still find high-end players that don't go in the first round. You know, the late Johnny Gaudreau is a perfect example, that all that type of stuff. And so, you know, the Flames just had 10 picks in this most recent draft. They had four in the top two rounds. And what if Parekh and Gridden and, say, Battaglia turn into pretty good players? Well, then all of a sudden, they're doing exactly what you're talking about. So, yes, there is absolutely something to be said about nailing your draft picks, hitting on your draft picks, and that's exactly what the Flames attempted to do with this most recent draft. And they're going to have to keep doing that going forward, for sure.
It's just right now, I'll just finish with this. Mm-hmm. It's really frustrating as a Flames fan, because they've been right there. And these games like today, okay, sure, you're playing a top team, but the effort. And then the other game before they went on the break against the Crack, and you blow that game. And the way what's been going on, the Schmozzle in Canuck land there, and they should easily be 5 or 6 points ahead of the Canucks. And that's not because of not having elite talent. That's because of effort and blowing some of these games that they should have won.
I don't know if there's – I don't know, Gio. I don't know if I'm fully on board with – questioning their effort. I mean, today they were no good. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and mince words there, but you can still count on one hand the amount of times they've had like truly awful efforts this season. So I'm not on the same page, and that's fine. We don't have to be on the same page, but I don't think effort has been a constant, or lack of effort has been a constant problem with this team at all this year. That is kind of been the opposite. That's kind of something that you can expect from them night in, night out. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes in the final 23 games here.
Well, let's hope they can get her done.
Thanks, Gio. Be well, man.
You too. Take care.
403-240-4444. That's your phone number following a Flames 3-0 loss in Florida. Got some phone lines open if you want to chat this afternoon. Let's say hello to Sean. What's going on, Sean?
Hey, Patty. How's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, it was. I feel bad for Dan. I mean, I thought this was his best outing of the year. And do you think the Flames need to go out and, like, get – I know they're I think there have been links to Bowen Byram, but do you think – is there anyone else besides on the defense they go after?
I mean, I don't know if there's been links to Bowen Byram. I just think that there's been enough talk about Byram potentially being available that perhaps people have wondered if the Flames could go get him. You know, there's Samuelson in Buffalo if you're looking for a young D. There's Zach Jones in New York. If you're looking for if you're looking for younger defense, there's a few other names that you could point to.
Okay, yeah. Because I'm looking at our D right now, and you know, thank God Ball's back. But when he was out, you know, you could really tell we didn't really have our D lines were basically scrambling. And thanks for taking my call, and you know, obviously been listening to your show for a while, so just want to thank you for what you do.
Well, thank you, Sean. Be well, man. Call back anytime.
Yeah, thanks, Patty.
Okay, Sean, be well. As the phone lines continue to be open at 403-240-4444. Got a few lines open if you want to chat on this Saturday afternoon. Flames lose at 3-0 on the road in Florida. Second straight 3-0 shutout loss for the Flames. Anand is with us up next. What's up, Anand?
Good evening, buddy. Can you hear me?
I got you, buddy.
All right, yeah, I'm just driving on my way to Maxwell Arena right now for the Calgary Canucks game. Yeah, definitely a tough loss for the Flames, of course. Would you start saying, like, there is a concern now with the scoring and the offense with the Flames right now?
Ask that one more time. Sorry, I was just talking with Azam, my producer. Ask that one more time.
Yeah, would you have, like, would you say now there is a bit of concern and panic, especially after losing 3-0 against Tampa and 3-0 against Florida, that there are some, what do you call it, concerns with scoring and offense for the Flames?
I mean, that's kind of been a theme all year, Anand. I mean, I believe they entered this game today, 29th overall, 29 of 32, so fourth last in terms of offense, and I believe they're 30th overall in terms of 5-on-5 offense. This team just doesn't score a lot, and that's kind of who they are, and it's probably going to be who they are for the rest of this season. That's just kind of what part of what their MO is. Some of their MO is good, some of it's bad, but they just don't score a lot. So it's been a concern all year, and it just so happens that in this game today and Thursday's game against Tampa, it ended up having more of an effect than, you know, it has at other times this season.
All right. Why would you say maybe they played well against Washington but has now struggled this past couple of games?
I don't know if they struggled against Tampa, in my opinion anyway. I thought they were actually pretty strong against Tampa. They just couldn't score, but they actually played, I thought, a pretty good game outside of not being able to put the puck in the net. They had some decent opportunities, and yeah, I thought they were okay against Tampa Bay, but in this game, yeah, I just did not think they were very good at all. It wasn't just they couldn't score. They couldn't get out of their own zone. They couldn't make a good first pass. They allowed way too many chances. This was a really poor game. So you burn the tape on this one and try to be much better against Carolina tomorrow.
Yeah, 100%. Couple last questions for you. Like, we got one sample size game today for Sharangovic, Backlund, and Coleman, and then Zari, Frost, and Faraby. Have you liked that more or just the regular, what we have done so far? I know they kind of listened to me asking when I asked the line change.
Kind of hard to evaluate. I didn't like one single line in this game. Knew that they juggled them all around as the game went along. I mean, there honestly wasn't a good line in this game. So, you know, let's see if they stick with those lines going into the Carolina game, and then maybe ask me then if it's a little bit of a better effort. You know.
Yeah. Fair enough. All right, yeah, I think that's about it. Thank you so much, Pat. Have a good night, and hopefully we have hopefully a good game tomorrow.
Good stuff. You be well, Anand. Thank you for the call, man.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good night. Take care.
The phone lines are open. We're clear right now on the phone line. So if you want to chat, give us a call. You won't get a busy signal if you call right now at 403-240-4444. Text line remains open at 960. Lots of texts to get to, and we'll get to those as the afternoon continues. But if you want to chat on the phone lines, you've got carte blanche because you won't get a busy signal. Totally clear on the phone lines right now at 403-240-4444. Let's go back inside the Flames locker room. Feel bad for Dan Vladar in this game. And feel bad for Ryan Lomberg as well, playing in his 600th. That was Blake Coleman on Thursday. Playing in his return to Florida for the first time since winning the Stanley Cup with the Panthers last season. Lomberg got the huge standing ovation, did a little bit of a lap on the ice saying thanks to the Florida fans. But the Flames then go out unable to score, lose the game 3-0. Let's hear from Ryan Lomberg postgame in Florida.
Yeah, like you said, obviously it totally stings losing this one. I wanted this one, but obviously incredibly thankful and appreciative of all the fans out there cheering me on.
Who urged you to jump over the boards, or was that just a
no? That was Weeksy, baby, and looking back, I'm happy he did. So it's a good teammate right there.
Was that an emotional moment for you too? I mean, I know obviously you're very happy too, but did I see tears, or am I making that up?
Yeah, I don't know if there were official tears, but they were on their way. They were on their way. I was definitely fighting the back a little bit. Yeah.
Did you notice the we missed Wombe chance in the third period there too?
No, I didn't actually. Yeah. That's too bad. I'll have to watch it back and listen to that. Yeah, obviously, again, very, very thankful and appreciative of the Panther territory.
I mean, you've made a lot of relationships down here over the course of your few years here. You're very involved in the community. I mean, just how did it feel to kind of feel the appreciation from those fans after everything you've kind of done here?
Yeah, it was nothing short of amazing. They made me feel very loved today, and I appreciate that.
How do you make sure that, I think the loss the other day, you played well. This loss, I don't think you played well. How do you make sure that you don't start to fall into a funk and start feeling sorry for yourselves almost?
Yeah, it's a challenge, and it's not getting easier, right? We got a big test tomorrow against the Hurricanes. It's just about being able to put this one behind us and get back on the horse and bring our best effort next game.
What about Vladdy? I mean, can you just talk about how incredible he was?
Yeah, it was amazing. It's too bad. We obviously let him down, for the first, every period just about. He stood in there and gave us a chance. And, we hung him out to dry quite a bit today. And disappointing from the group to do that to him. But an incredible effort by him.
That is Ryan Lomberg postgame after his return to Florida. Flames lose, though, 3-0 on the road against the Panthers. Second straight game, the Flames have been shut out. They lost 3-0 in Tampa Bay on Thursday. 3-0 this afternoon against the Florida Panthers. Okay, last call for phone calls. If you want to jump in, now's the time to do so at 403-240-4444. Text line remains open as well at 960-960. Flames Talk postgame is available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. And live right here, this is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Final score this afternoon, Flames fall 3-0 on the road in Florida. It's your Flames Talk postgame show. Pat Steinberg along with you. Phone lines 403-240-4444. Text line 960-960. We're on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. One more look inside the Flames locker room after this frustrating one at Amerant Bank Arena in Florida. Here is Captain Michael Backlund.
Yeah, not our best game. I thought, we play against a team, good team, reigning champions. You got to bring your best game. We didn't do that tonight. We weren't playing with any pace. We're too slow. They're a good team, so it's going to be hard to beat them if you don't bring it again.
Where do you find it the most challenging to, maybe find that pace or to find some open space?
Yeah, I mean, Vlade kept us in the game, we just never changed the momentum. I felt like we couldn't. But they did a good job pushing us back, yeah. It just wasn't the way we want to play. We expect more ourselves, and like I said, if you want to beat these guys, we know how to play. We did it at home against them. We played really well that game, and we knew we had to bring that, and we didn't do it tonight.
Yeah, how do you stave off the frustration of going two straight games without a goal?
Yeah, it's not a great position to be in, but the only way we get out of it is we play the way we can, like play the right way. We're not going to be able to sheet and go for offense, look to go for offense and win games. So we got to stick with our game plan and trust our team game and get more bodies to the net, make it harder on the goalies.
Do you think maybe there's some momentum to be gained about the third period and trying to find something for tomorrow?
Yeah, we play a little better, but I know we have a lot more in us, and we know we gotta be a lot better tomorrow if we want to have a chance to win.
You mentioned Vlade, but what did you get your group from him today?
Yeah, no, he played unbelievable for us. He kept us in the game after the first two periods, and he made some big saves, and it was really good for us tonight. And he was the only guy who really played really well tonight for us.
That is Michael Backlund postgame this afternoon. Okay, back to the text line at 960-960. Roll through some more of our texts here on Flames Talk postgame. This reads, get Klapka in. Tired of watching him get pushed around, pitchforking the goalie. They need some toughness. Kim reads, brutal effort this afternoon from the Flames. I don't buy fatigue as an issue. Coronado, Huberdeau, completely invisible. Fabulous effort by Vladar. He gave new meaning to standing on your head. That's from Kim and Cressmond. I'm with you, Ken. Kim, rather. I don't really see why fatigue would have been a factor in this game either. This says, they better give Frost and Farabee the rest of the season and a training camp to get acclimated. Then we can truly judge what they have. And that's exactly where I am on the Frost-Farabee side of things, especially knowing how bad things went in Philadelphia. Dave says, the team owner and management have known since before the season this isn't a playoff team. It's nice the fans are finally realizing and admitting it. I don't know if everybody is saying that. What else we got here at 960-960? This says, I'd like to see Farabee with Backlund and Coleman. Your thoughts? That's from Kimball and YVR. I wouldn't mind that, too. I think that would be an interesting look at some point. And honestly, any look you threw at me at this point in the top nine specifically, it would be tough to really argue with. I mean, you probably keep Kadri Huberdeau together. You probably keep Backlund Coleman together. Otherwise, I think you probably could come up with a bunch of different permutations, and I'd be fine with them myself. This from Adam, in the next few games, if the next few games don't go any better than the last two, is there a chance Conroy changes his perspective on Kadri? If so, do you think the Leafs would take him and retain for Cowan? I doubt it. I really, really do doubt it, especially on the Easton Cowan front. Could they... Could an offer, if they continue to really struggle in the next three games, could an offer be listened to a little bit more than it would be before? Yeah, maybe, but I'm still not anticipating it between now and the trade deadline, that's for sure. And finally, Pat, first time texter, but big fan. I'm officially on Team Tank. They're 4-8 since the trade for Frost and Farabee. I can watch an entire game and not notice either of them. Backlund has not been producing lately. This team has zero offense. I don't think they're terribly far away from being a solid team, but it's so unbelievably obvious to me this team has no high-end talent. Team Tank all the way. There is your text line at 960-960. As we get back to the phone lines following this 3-0 loss in Florida, it's Steinberg along with you on your Flames Talk postgame. Let's say hello to Sam, first of all. What's up, Sam?
Hi, how are you doing, Pat?
I'm well, man. How are you?
Good, good. I just thinking about this game, and first of all, the entire Calgary Flames fan base owes Dan Vladar an apology, in my opinion. Everyone has been hating on him the last few games. He struggled to get a win since November, and then now he's really coming in and showing that he can be a 1B almost, in my opinion. I don't know if Conroy plans to trade him at all soon. Maybe wait till the summer, in my opinion, to do that now, just because of the way he's playing.
Well, and they wouldn't trade him in the summer, mainly because he's an unrestricted free agent. So they likely wouldn't be trading Vladar in the summer, because there wouldn't be a whole lot of value there. But
do they
decide not to re-sign him becomes the question. I don't know if like trading Vladar is one of their main thrusts going into the deadline. I think that they would probably be looking at and thinking about doing some other things. I think that they've been open to trading Vladar for a good chunk of the season. If there's a deal that makes sense, they're not going to be giving him away either. And look, it's been much better of late, and that's a real positive. And I think it's mainly a positive because it means they don't feel forced, like they have to just be feeding nothing but Dustin Wolf games. And at some point, you're going to wear the guy out, I think. And as good as he's been, I think not wearing him out, if you can get some trustworthy outings from your 1B or your number two or whatever you want to call Vladar, to me, that's always going to be the ideal. And good on Dan for being able to give the Flames that the last three starts, I'd say. It's been pretty good for him.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. I completely forgot he's a free agent after this season.
That's all right.
To be honest with you. Yeah, the other thing that I think of, everyone's talking team tank. For me, I don't know if they're a playoff team. I'm still on the boat that I want to see this team in the playoffs. Even if they don't make it very far, like even a sweep in the first round, I do want to experience that playoff hockey in Calgary. That atmosphere in the Saddle Dome is amazing. So that's kind of my perspective on it. I want to see them still try to make a push for it.
And I think that's a perfectly fair way of looking at it. And I don't think there's going to be at any point where the Flames throw in the towel on this season. I really don't. I know the last two games have been for some very telling. And I get it. Like they've been pretty significantly. Well, I mean they were significantly outplayed in this game today, and they had a heck of a time scoring against Tampa Bay as well. So I understand why there are some who are saying that, you know, this is it, and finally the Flames have come back down to earth. I would counter with every time we've thought that this season, they've come back the other way and gotten themselves back into it. So who's to say that that won't happen again? And maybe it won't, but every time it has happened this year, they've found a way to get back in it. So we'll see if that can happen again. But I don't think they're going to be intentionally trying to lose games at any point between now and the trade deadline or the end of the season. I really don't.
Yeah, I'm totally with you there.
All right.
Thanks, Pat. Appreciate your time.
Hey, call back anytime, Sam. Appreciate the call, man.
All right, for sure. Thank you.
Let's say hello to Bryce following a 3-0 loss in Florida. What's up, Bryce?
Oh, doing okay. How are you?
I'm good, bud.
Today, yeah, they didn't quite play well, but I was just wondering, do you think part of that was the schedule where they got like six hard ones? Do you think some of it's a little bit of challenging for them? Is it? I don't know, but that.
I mean, the schedule, this is a difficult road trip, no doubt, but their complete and utter lack of like being able to compete in this one, I don't know if I would put on the schedule, Bryce, because there's not a lot of travel between Florida and Tampa. I mean, I think that anything that we look to would be pretty heavy excuse making as opposed to just calling it out for what it was. They were just no good today, and they didn't deserve to win that game.
Yeah. No, I was thinking of these double headers, like they had like twice there and then,
but I mean, this is the first half of a back-to-back. They practiced yesterday. I really don't think you can put this one down to fatigue. I think, you know, sometimes I think absolutely it is a factor, and they've had a tough schedule this year in a lot of ways. But on this particular night or afternoon, we're talking about a team that you know, this part of a difficult trip, I don't think was super taxing schedule-wise. I think that if you were to talk to coaches, they'd probably say, you know, chalking this one up to the schedule, they're not overly interested in doing.
Yeah. Well, then that questionable goal, that first goal that Pouncer's got, is that was a tough one because where it was described, it was
I think they made the right call on it, just based on the way they've been calling those plays all season. It's been actually pretty consistent. The Flames have got the benefit of a goal like that being counted in Seattle earlier this year. They had one count against them, an overtime goal against St. Louis this year, and this one counted too. I mean, basically the way that one I interpret it anyway is being called is that's a loose puck, and the player going for the puck has as much right to try to win the puck as the goaltender does. So he's fighting for a loose puck. He's swinging at a loose puck. And so, yes, he did make contact with Vladar's glove, and that probably did hamper Vladar from making the stop, but he's kind of entitled to go for that loose puck when it's up for grabs like that.
Yeah, it's just that I think I'm looking at it. It's just there's so much inconsistency when
that's one. That's one that I would say has been called pretty consistently this year. But that's just what I've seen.
Yeah, yeah. And then if he had it in his glove and if he slashed him, do you think there could have been a penalty on the Panthers on that one? If they slashed him, probably
not a penalty, but the goal definitely wouldn't have counted if it was in Vladar's glove, but it wasn't, right? It was a loose puck.
Yeah. Yeah. No, no, you're right. I was just trying to figure out that mess. It looks like it was like all the things are flying around so fast.
For sure. Yes. If that was in his glove and he has control of it and then it's knocked out of the glove with a stick and then it goes in, then that's I think a pretty easy no goal call. But this one was a loose puck and the player has just as much right to fight for the puck as the goalie does when it's loose like that. And so that's why I think they counted it.
Yeah. And then maybe one last question.
Sure.
Do you think it's maybe they have to bring up somebody from Wranglers or something, or have to change the lines because they seem to can't score? Like, you know,
I don't know if I don't know if bringing up anybody from the Wranglers is going to make a meaningful difference in that regard. Maybe you could juggle up the lines a little bit, but for the most part, Bryce, we've been talking about them being a low-scoring team all year, right? And kind of just remains the case.
Yeah, the effort's there. There's no question about that. It's like
sure it is. And they, you know, today maybe not. The effort was pretty lackluster and suspect in this game. But generally, you're right. Every game, you know that you're going to get some sort of good effort from the Flames for the most part. But even when you get those good efforts like Thursday in Tampa, it can be like chopping wood to score goals. And that kind of reared its ugly head against the Lightning and definitely did, as did a lot of other things against the Panthers.
Yeah. And Connor Zary, do you think that injury is still affecting him?
I actually quite like Zary. He was one of the only guys that I noticed positively in this game this afternoon. So I think every game he's gotten a little bit better, in my opinion, and a little bit more impactful. He was one of the only guys to finish with positive possession metrics and not get completely crushed when he was out there in this game. I thought he was noticeable with the puck on his stick. I thought he made things happen, even in the first 40 minutes when the Flames, nothing was happening. And then in the third period where Calgary was slightly better, he was still doing so. So I thought Zary or Pospisil were Calgary's two best players, not named Vladar, in this game.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll let you go, and you have a good one. And
we'll talk soon,
with the others.
Okay, buddy. Be well, man.
Yeah. You too.
Let's continue along on the phone lines following a 3-0 lead in 3-0 loss rather in Florida. Let's say hello to Kent. It's the K Dog. What's up, buddy?
Oh, not too much, Patty. How are you doing today?
I'm hanging in, man.
Actually, we're calving now, and geez, I didn't think I was going to make it through February. It was so cold, I didn't even want to leave my room. I don't do a lot around here on the farm now, but I was driving around with my daughter checking cows today, and I said something to her, and she kind of looked at me funny. I said, Tegan, could you imagine calving right now and cashing checks every 2 weeks for $80,000? And she said, what do you mean, Dad? I said, well, that's Daryl Sutter. Like, we're still paying that guy. So that's the only way life could be better, if I was cashing checks every 2 weeks, I guess. But no, it's going pretty good out here.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm glad to hear that.
But Murray does pay us. We got a couple of CNR wells in our land, so we get our 12 grand every year. So thanks, Murray, if you're listening.
Okay.
My confidence, it's kind of going on the wayside a bit here. Probably
your
down to 90%. The confidence.
Oh, gotcha.
I don't know. I'm still on the plan. No team tank here. I know what Connie's doing and everything, but geez, I don't know, Patty, that Sharangovich contract, that's not going to look good. That guy has been invisible this year, and I know give guys chances and stuff, but I think we sent the wrong guy out of town. I would have kept Kuzmenko and sent Sharangovich packing, but I don't know, I'm not the manager, but anyways. That Kuzmenko, if you watched him in warm-up, I had one buddy tell me he's like Kucherov's brother. He's like Nikita Kucherov's brother. I wonder how he's doing in Philadelphia.
He's been okay. He's been pretty good for them, actually, all reports. I haven't watched him play a ton in Philadelphia, no. But he's got 3 points in 4 games. He's been, from all reports, I think it kind of sounds like what he was when he first got to Calgary. Remember February last year, he joined the Flames and came out like he was shot out of a cannon. Dropped back a little bit, and then the final few weeks of the season was really strong. And then this year, he was a super inconsistent, frustrating player for him. So looks like some new life in Philly. He's been, all reports, he's been pretty decent.
He was such a nice kid there, and let's hope he hangs in the NHL and Torts doesn't ruin him, eh? But no, I don't know. On this gauntlet here, we got such good talent on the radio, like with all your guys' shows and stuff, and Mick and the gang. I actually quit watching the game today, and I went out in the garage and I was listening to it.
Well, that's what we like to hear. With no disrespect to our television friends.
So, no, that's pretty good. We do have the best view for the Flames talk and the Sportsnet and stuff, so we're lucky that way as fans. And one thing I wanted to tell you here before I forget, let you go, I'm sure liking the new people phoning in. You know, that's why I haven't really been phoning in. I give the new guys a chance, but I don't like it when you get kind of a low volume, so I thought I'd give you a shout in there today and see how it was going, stuff.
Well, I appreciate you calling, and I like hearing from new people as well. It's always good to hear from some new folks.
Yeah, no, you got nice patience there, and everyone's got an opinion. So I like the guy that phones in. He hasn't phoned in for a while, but you remember that one guy that talked about the goalies? He has, like, we should have 3 goalies on board, and he wants to make 1 goalie. He has these crazy goalie ideas, right?
Yes, I will never forget that.
I know. It made your brain hurt. I like that comment. I like to hear from that guy again. And some of my Huddy Rate buddies, you know, it's Patty. They'd say Patty like 100 times when they call, and I'm kind of missing their calls. So some of you calling me, boys, get off the pot and phone in. But, Pat, you have a great afternoon there and stuff, and let's hope we get through the gauntlet 500.
Stay warm, Kent. Good to hear from you, K-Dog.
Take her easy.
And our last call this afternoon following a 3-0 loss in Florida is our buddy Robert. What's up, Robert?
Hello, my friend.
How we doing?
Good. Congratulations on your award.
Thank you, sir.
Young man, I remember I sat at 11, 12 years ago when I met you. I knew you're going to be one of those. Professionalism, good young man, knows his stuff. Congrats, buddy.
Well, thank you, pal. It was very neat to see that for sure.
Congratulations, sir. Patty, I phoned in tonight, this afternoon, a couple things. Before I get to my point, in the Western Conference, we have outscored Anaheim and Nashville. Fact.
Yep, they have not been a very high-scoring team this year. No disagreement for me on that one.
I want to get to my point and then to the other one. I understand the optimism about us being in the playoff chase. Everybody's their own opinion. You know what I feel? I'm not going to talk about that. Patty, my opinion, this team is close to a playoff spot. Here's why. Now playing with a target on their head, number one, playing loose, not that it's an easier game. Number two, you take away the goaltending for this team, all year, Wolf, Ladar, where the games they played and stole, we would be with Nashville, San Jose, and Chicago. Utah would be ahead of us, St. Louis would be ahead of us, and Anaheim. That's the fact. It doesn't take away of their effort, the season they're having. That's my opinion. That's a fact. The goaltending has saved this team for being in the bottom four or five teams in the Western Conference.
And I mean, goaltending has been very good for them this year.
When I got to the point, I phoned in that I got riled up.
Okay.
And this is not personal to you. Patty, when we traded Kuzmenko for Ferriby and Frost, because I heard a thing today, not personally that you said, I've heard it. And I knew it was going to come out because I was the first guy when we made the trade. I said, I'm not going to judge a trade because you got to give it time. Mm-hmm. But I heard the thing I didn't want to hear today, Patty. Scars from Philadelphia, whatever you might call them, because of Torres, the scar, defect. Patty, but excuse me, didn't the organization already know this when we traded for these two players, that they were in the doghouse? They were probably at some car slip. So what are we saying now? That we got scarred players because of the Tortorella effect in Philly, so now we're going to be medical doctors, psychologists, and hear these scars? So I don't understand this kind of talk, Patty, because I knew what's going to come out, because I already knew it, because I heard the rumors in Philly why they were. So you trade a problem to get two problems, and now we're going to be in the psychologists of scoring 25 and 26 players for the next 2-3 years because of torts. Can you respond to that, Patty? Because I'm really, this point, I really don't want to let go. And I'm not going against you directly. I find this kind of a lunacy, if bringing up that they're scarred. I don't want you to respond without interrupting.
All I would say to that is that I think that it's just going to take a little bit of time for them to get their confidence back would be the only thing I would say. And I don't think that they need to be psychologists or they have Matt Brown, who's a great mental skills coach and has been awesome for them. And I think will continue working with those guys. I just think it's going to take some time for those guys to get their confidence back in their game. And that happens. And you know, the trade shocked them both. And so I'm just, all I've said is I think that there has been some confidence lost on both sides or with both players. I think maybe a little more so on the Ferriby front. And as a result, I just think that because these guys are going to be longer term members of the Flames than just this year, I think it might, we might start to see some better returns from them as they get more comfortable. And it might take it might take an entire season into training camp and next year for them to get their confidence back. And I guess you can call that excuse making or letting them off easy or whatever. And that's fair if you do say that. But for me, I just think it might take a little time. That's all.
Yeah, I understand. You know, Patty, I understand your response. I agree. My opinion is, Patty, if that was the case with Ferriby and Frost, that they were having such a mental distress scar in Philadelphia, getting traded out of there, this should be guns a-blazing. Because they are in a bad situation. So juice of that fact of getting traded should give them enough confidence, guns a-blazing, that we're out of there. But, Patty, I don't want to say a few things because it's still early. And listen, Patty, I don't go off left field many times. I don't want 25, 26 players here, average players. I don't. I want players who are going to be part of the process of plan, who are young in that age, but they also have some skill. I'm not going to go there yet, but Patty, I have a gut feeling these are two juice average players, nothing more.
And you might be right.
That's my opinion.
You might be right. And we'll see. And then at that point, if it turns out to be that's what we're talking about, then we can probably say that it wasn't a great trade. As of right now, it's a little too early for me to go down that road. Yeah. That's all.
Fair enough. Anyway, F1 season's around the corner. Champions League next week. Philadelphia destroyed Kansas City. It's all looking good. We're first in the Italian division. Everything's good, baby. Champions League next week.
Have fun. Enjoy. Go Inter.
F1, March 15th.
You know it, pal. Be
Take
well,
care,
Robert.
Congrats on the award.
Thank you, pal. Forza bye. Ferrari. That's our buddy Robert. That's how we wrap things up on our phone lines this afternoon. Great stuff on the phone lines. Great stuff on the text line as the Flames fall by a 3-0 score for a second consecutive game. And we move to our final summary on our Flames Talk post-game show this afternoon. No scoring in the first period. Didn't get our scoring going until the second period when Florida, who had dominated the first period, carried that over into the second, finally broke through at the 4:47 mark of the middle frame. Jonah Gadjevich makes it 1-0 Panthers with his third, AJ Greer, Nate Schmidt, the assist, and at 4:47, it was 1-0 Florida. That ends up being your game winner. Late in the period, Evan Rodriguez makes it 2-0, gives the Panthers a little breathing room. Rodriguez gets his 14th from Aaron Ekblad and Sam Bennett at 19:24. Flames trailed 2-0 after 40 minutes of play. And then late in the third period, Mackie Samuskevich gives the Panthers a little more breathing room to make it 3-0. Samuskevich with his 10th from Bennett and Rodriguez at 16:08 to get us to our 3-0 final score. Final shots were 42-23 in favor of Florida. Calgary 0-2 on the power play this afternoon. Florida 0-4 with the man advantage. Your 3 stars in the building. Number 3, Jonah Gadjevich. Number 2, Evan Rodriguez. And with a 23-save shutout, Sergei Bobrovsky is your number 1 star this afternoon. Hardest working Flame as selected by Megan Mickelson today was Dan Vladar. With the loss, Flames fall to 28-23-8. They're back in action tomorrow, Sunday, on the road in Carolina. Florida improves to 37-21-3. They're back in action Monday at home to Tampa Bay. That is your final summary. And now for everyone involved in Flames hockey this afternoon, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson, for my co-host Logan Gordon, and for our outstanding producer Azam Ali Nanji, my name is Pat Steinberg. That'll start to wrap us up on our Flames Talk post-game show, which is available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Next up for the Flames, Sunday afternoon in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's the Flames and Hurricanes, 3 o'clock Calgary time, which means we'll be on the air at 2 p.m. with your Calgary Flames warm-up. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your weekend. Final score from Florida. Flames blanked for a second consecutive game. 3-0 they lose to the Panthers. This has been your Flames Talk post-game show, available wherever you get your podcasts. And this has been Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.